Let us all say amen.
Amen.
I don't know about you. I am looking forward to a lot of things on this life, but I'm really looking forward to the life hereafter.
That's right.
Because I know that the life hereafter, according to John, as he's in exile on the island of Patmos, as he writes to the seven churches in the Asia Minor area, John says, "And God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes. There will be no more pain, no more sorrow. The former things will be passed away." And I don't know about you, there's going to come a time that when we all are going to have to face the reality that we're only pilgrims and strangers on this time side of life. So that ought to behoove us, that ought to motivate us to really do what Peter said. Make your calling and an election sure. And I don't know about you, when I stop and think about the world in which we live in, when I'm concerned about my grandchildren and not knowing what world that they're going to be thrown into, I am so thankful that I know what God told me to do. Proverbs chapter 22 and round about verse number 16. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he shall not depart from it. And you know, that's what motivates me, to know that no matter what transpires, if they keep their hand in the hand of the man from Galilee, everything's going to be all right. And so I'm reminded that one day I'm going to give up this old earthly body, but I'm not worried about it. Because I have a house not made with hand. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 and following. In John chapter 14, and round about verse number 1, Jesus would remind us that he's going to prepare a place for us. And I don't know about you, when I stop and think about reservations, sometimes I don't know if I'm going to make it. Sometimes I'm delayed, and sometimes they just cancel the whole thing. Ever flown somewhere and you think you got a connection flight and it's been canceled?
Yes.
And you sleeping in the airport not knowing when you're gonna get out. But see, I got a guarantee from God that no matter what transpired, he's coming back to get me. And see, and that's what motivates me. That's what drives me. Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it was not so, I would have never told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And so one day, when we give up this old earthly house of this tabernacle, where will you spend eternity? And I don't know about you, I've made up my mind that I'm gonna follow Jesus. I followed a lot of things in my lifetime. 64 years old, as I look back over the course of time and I hear y'all, "You ain't nothing but a baby." Yes, thank Lord, I'm still a baby. But as I look back over the course of time, all the things that I've done, not all of it to please the Lord, a lot of it to please old Stan. But I'm so thankful that he saw fit to look down the course of time and say, "Stan, you're going to need a Savior." And he sent somebody to me to preach unto me the gospel of his Son, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And you know, when I heard the gospel, I said, "That is the truth that comes from the Word of God." And when a preacher told me what I needed to do, I said, "Take me to the water." Because I realized it was in that watery grave. Nothing was in the water, but God did a spiritual operation and forgave me of all the dirt that I did. Woo. That's what excites me. That's what motivates me, is to know that I don't have to worry about yesterday. Amen. Because I know who holds yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And that's my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So this morning, I want to look at an individual here that knew what he needed and he knew who to go to. Ever been like that? You know, as you live on this time side of life, young folks, you're going to learn that everybody you go to is not the person you need to go to.
Okay? Right.
Amen. And you're going to learn, just because you got two eyes, that don't mean you get everything you want. Amen. You don't know it now, but you'll learn it as you go. But somewhere down the line, we got to learn that if Jesus is the author and finisher of our lives, what do we have to worry about on this time side of life? If God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and cast into the oven, will he not much more clothe us?
Amen.
O ye of little faith. But I want to show you an individual here that had faith in Jesus Christ. He knew that he was coming this way,
And he did not let nothing or no one stop him. This individual here has some special needs, because this individual is not liked by mostly anybody. This individual, matter of fact, is really ostracized from the society in which he lives in. But because Jesus is on his way, he know good and well Jesus can take care of his problems. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? Amen. See, when you surrender your will to the will of God, God said, I'll take care of everything else. Matthew chapter 6 and round about verse number 30. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all of these other things. What other things? Back up to verse 19. Verse 19 says, take no thought for tomorrow. Don't worry about food, clothes, and shelter. Isn't that what we're all worried about?
Yeah.
But if you seek the kingdom of God first, Jesus says, I'll take care of everything else. But this individual here is not well liked. Matter of fact, he is an outcast from the society in which he lives in. Because of his special needs, this individual realized that I need Jesus, and I need him right now. And see, and I'm learning that when you need Jesus, you need him right now. See, I don't want him to come when hell is breaking loose. Oh, no. I want him to come when I got grits in the pantry, a loaf of bread under both arms, and everything is easy. That's when I want Jesus. See, because when I got him then, and the difficult times come, I know exactly who I need to lean on. This individual here in Matthew chapter 8 shows us an example that if you trust God, God will take care of everything else. Title of the lesson is, Jesus can make you whole if. Jesus can make you whole if. And I want you to underline if. Conditional. If you do what he commands, if you're willing to surrender your will, Jesus can do some miracles in our lives. Now, you're probably saying miracles, yeah. Did you wake up this morning?
Amen.
That's a miracle, but really that's God's providence that you woke up this morning, because if not, you wouldn't be sitting here talking to me. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 8, beginning at verse number 1, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. Stop right there. You got to understand something. Back in those times, they had leprosy, a colony of leopards. And leprosy was really incurable. I don't know if it's curable now, but I think it's still the same. And in that period of time, that if you had leprosy, you could not enter into the city. Matter of fact, you had to stay outside of the city. And whenever somebody came along, you cried out, leper. Why? So you would not infect that individual. And so therefore, it made it a very lonely road with his sickness. Amen. Only people that could be bothered with him was another leopard. Amen. How did he get food? How did he survive? Well, they probably threw him scraps. You know how we do things when we don't want to be bothered with somebody, especially if he got a disease like that, you know. You know how we do. But this individual here realized and he recognized that Jesus was on his way. Now, if I stop and I look at this leopard had to have some knowledge about who Jesus was. He had no doubt to know that somebody had told him about this Jesus, and he must have knew that this Jesus could save him. Because when the Bible said when Jesus came down from the mountain, a leper worshiped him and said, if thou will, thou can makest me clean. So much stuff in here, and I don't have time, but powerful. Because this individual here recognized that the condition that I'm in, no one can help me but Jesus. How about you this morning? You realize the condition that you're in? You realize the condition that the world is in? And the only way the world is going to change is when men, women, boys, and girls accept the power that Jesus have to offer. I told you last week in 1 Chronicles chapter 7, God said, if my people that are called by my name would just seek his face, turn from their wicked ways, He said, I'll hear them from heaven, I'll heal the land, and I'll forgive them of their sins and iniquity. See, the problem with the world we live in is that Jesus is a genie. And the only time we use our genie is when we want something for ourselves. But Jesus is not a genie. He is the God of God and Lords of Lord. He holds the world in the hollow of his hand. And this man knew that if he could come to Jesus, that Jesus could take care of his problem. The Bible says in verse number 3, and Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. Underline that. You know why? Because see, when God makes a promise, he holds to it. When he says he'll do something, he'll hold to what he says he'll do. Very powerful passage of scripture, because it goes to show that when you and I really trust and depend on God, and we ask God to help us, no matter what state we're in, God is willing to help us and to help us out of the condition that we're in. Amen. The Bible says, he says, I will, be thou cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said unto him, see that thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And we know the story. He did everything but that. And I don't know. I'd probably do the same thing. If Jesus healed me, if he returned to me a normal portion of my health, I got to tell somebody about Jesus. And that's the message, church, that when you understand what God has done for you, you can't help yourself. Matter of fact, Jeremiah said, God's word is like a fire shut up in my bones. I want to shut up, but I can't. Why? Because the word just wants to come out. In this text here, we see that there is a man that comes to Jesus. His biggest problem is his leprosy, but he realized a problem far greater than leprosy. He realized that he needs a savior. See, in order for Jesus to save us, to heal us, we must understand first and foremost where we're at. See, in order for you to really get forgiveness of your sins, you got to ask yourself, am I a saint or a sinner? And then you got to be willing to allow God to change the state that you're in. So when this guy comes to Jesus, he realized that he needs some help. And he realized that the help he needs is from Jesus. A couple quick points. Message is yours. Point number one, see, it requires faith in God. No doubt that this man had faith that God could heal him of his leprosy. That's why when he came to Jesus, the Bible says he came and fell down and he worshiped him. Before he asked for anything, he gave God the credit that's due him. How about us? Wake up in the morning. Do you give God the credit that's due him? Before you ask the grocery list of what you need? Amen. I'm learning, church, that when you give God what's due him, he'll take care of everything else. This man realized that. This man recognized, before I can ask Jesus for anything, I got to give him the glory and the honor that's due him. He's King of Kings and he's Lord of Lords. He is the Savior of the world. And this man realized that. The Bible said he fell down and worshiped him because he had faith in what God could do for him. Look at what the Hebrew writer says. Hebrews chapter 11. And round about verse number 1, the Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which were seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained righteousness, that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, by it he being dead, yet speak. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God translated him. But before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. That's some powerful stuff there. But verse number 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The leopard man was diligent in what he needed to do. He knew that his commandment from the Pharisees and the Sadducees was to stay outside of the city. To holler out, lepers, whenever someone came close. But he was moved, he was motivated by the faith that God could take care of his illness, and he didn't care what man could do to him. Well, that's some powerful stuff. And church, and I'm learning that when you realize who you are and what God has placed upon you, you won't worry about nothing on this time side of life. But that requires you to take some time to know him. No doubt the leopard man knew him. It is through our faith, our trust in God, that helps us to understand that when we really depend on God, God will take care of everything else. I want to show you an individual that had faith in God. He had so much faith that all God had to do was merely say something, and he believed it. How about you and I? You know, how about us? If God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Do we really believe that? Amen. Shouldn't our life be totally different than what it is? Should we be the ragtime fleet of Christians that we are? Amen. Huh? Should we be as weak as water? And water is not weak. I should use another analogy, because water is not weak. But church, I want to encourage you. This man here trusted God. He had faith in God, and his faith caused him to do some things. John chapter 4, and round about verse number 46, I want to show you an individual here that trusted God so much that when God told him to do something, he did it. The Bible says in verse number 46 of John chapter 4, so Jesus came again into Canaan of Galilee, where he made the water to wine. I ain't got time, wish I had time. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. And when he heard that Jesus was to come out of Judea into Galilee, he went up to him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for his son was at the point of death. And Jesus said unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Boy, isn't that us? Yeah. You know, I mean, look at the world around us. How much does God have to show us before we really trust him? You know, we're like this, aren't we? Yeah. Somewhere down the line, we ought to be in a straight line. You know, and I guess the older I get, the more I can see that I need somebody to take me from the grave to the other side. Mm-hmm. You can't do it. I can't do it. Amen. I need a Savior. And so if I focus my mind now on the Savior, guess what? When the time comes, there won't be no more pain. There won't be no more suffering. The Bible says, Jesus says, except you see signs and wonder, you will not by any means believe. Now the nobleman said unto him, sir, come down. My child dies. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy son liveth. Boy, you talk about having some faith. You know Jesus has the power to heal. You know that if he comes and just lays his hand on your son, he gonna be all right. But see, this is where faith comes in. Jesus says, go thy way. Your son gonna live. Look at this attitude. Because if that had been you and I, boy, we'd have had to have a Bible class with Jesus. Amen. Well, you know, Lord, I need you to come. No, you go your way and you do what I say to do, and everything else will be all right. The Bible says in verse number 51, and as he was not had gone down, his servant met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then he inquired he of them the hour when he began to mend. And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in that when Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and he himself believeth, and his whole house. Don't miss that. See, when a father do what God say, you don't have to worry about the wife. When the father and the wife is in harmony, you ain't got to worry about the children. When the house do what God commands it to do, guess what? Everybody in the house will believe. Point number two, it also requires total trust in what God says he will do. These individuals trusted God so much that they could take him at his word. How about you and I? Do we take God at his word? John chapter 10, verse number 10. Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and that you may have it.
More abundantly.
Are we afraid of that word? Abundant life. What is the abundant life? I have the forgiveness of sin. What more do I need? I'm on my way to hell. I don't need nothing else. I know that's not what you want to hear, is it? But see, that's the abundant life that he has to offer. That he'll forgive me of my sins. He'll help me to make heaven my home if I do what he commands. See, it requires total trust. Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thy own understanding and all thy ways. Acknowledge him, and guess what he'll do? He'll direct your path. Psalms division 37 verses 1 through 6. The psalmist said, fret not because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the work of iniquities. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so that thou day that thou dwelling in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself always in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy ways unto the Lord, trust always in him, and he will bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him that prospered in his ways, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Trust God. Depend on God. This leopard man depended on God and knew that God was able to heal him of his leprosy, but it required something. Point number three, it requires total obedience. Obedience requires action. Amen. You know, don't talk a good game. Show me the game. And show me the game based upon the word. See, this man was willing to suffer ridicule, persecution, and even being put to death because he was a leopard. But he was willing to go beyond that because he knew, in order for me to be healed, I have to do something. Amen. If you're going to make your heaven your home, you got to do something. Coming here on Sunday morning looking as pretty as you look and smiling and going on, that's all right. Amen. But that ain't going to get you there. You got to do something more than that. And I know you're looking at the preacher. He looks good. He sounds good. But that ain't going to get me to heaven either. No. In order for me to make heaven my home, I'm going to have to check myself from the neck up. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and 13 and verse number 5. Examine yourself whether or not you be in the faith. Prove to your own self that Christ is in you, except you be a reprobate. See, in order for you to make heaven your home, there are some things you're going to have to do. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3, Peter says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Church, that's what motivates me, to know that I have a place prepared when he calls me from labor to the other side. But it requires total obedience. It requires me to surrender my will to the will of God. And it requires me to surrender my will based upon what this book says. You know, everybody sitting up in here think you're all right, don't you?
Sure.
You don't have to answer that. I know you do. But what does the book say? Paul says, examine who?
Yourself.
How am I going to examine myself? It's got to be by the word. I got to be by Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 16, verse number 24. Jesus said, if any man desires to come after me, let him deny. Deny. We live in America and we don't deny a whole lot.
Nope.
Amen, Walls. Why don't we deny ourselves? But Jesus said, if you're going to follow him, you got to deny yourself and pick up your cross and follow him. For whosoever desires to save his life will lose it. And whosoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Jesus says, what does it profit a man if you gain the whole world? How much do you need? And I venture to say, if we were all filthy rich, it still wouldn't be enough. Amen. Because see, we don't understand that man is made up of a spirit. And that spirit comes from God himself. Does God need our money? No. He needs us to have the right spirit in order to worship him. Jesus says, what does it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what will a man give
in exchange for his soul. See, obedience requires action on everyone's part. Jesus set the example of what action must be. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Although he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Then being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation. Jesus learned through the suffering of what he needed to do to please God. And matter of fact, Jesus said, I always do the things that please my Father. How about us? Do we always do the things that please God? If not, repent, get on the right track. Just that simple. See, it requires action. Action means that I'm going to do what God say to do, when he say to do it, and how he says to do it.
Amen.
Amen. Is there any middle ground? Nope.
Nope.
You either do it or you don't do it. Jesus said, I would that you were hot or cold. But since you're neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm, Jesus says, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Revelation chapter 3. Want to encourage us and remind us, it requires action. This man was willing to suffer whatever it took to see Jesus. The man, the son, was dying, was willing to do what God said, and he had faith and trust that his son would be healed because he went his way. What does God require of you and I? He requires action. That's right, he requires action. You can come and sit and go and sit all day long, but that ain't gonna help you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, to those of us who are members of the body of Christ, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of you, who Christ has reconciled us to himself and have committed unto us the ministry of reconciliation. You have a responsibility. When was the last time you helped somebody reconcile to the Lord? Don't answer that. Because God knows that I know. Did you know that God knows that I know? You ain't reconciled even your own household. That's some powerful stuff. God expects you and I to live up to what we have voluntarily said we were going to do. Those of us who are members of the body of Christ that have been baptized for the remission of our sins and went into the watery grave, God expects us to do what he commands us to do.
Amen.
He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every man. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Jesus says, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things which I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you. Question, if you ain't doing nothing, is he with you? If you have not helped him bring lost souls to the cross, is he with you? If you're not living up to what you said you were going to do, is he with you? I'm going to let you think on that for a minute. And for those of you that have not obeyed God's plan to redeem man, I'm not talking about the plan that the world has to offer. I'm talking about the plan that comes out of this book. John chapter 4, verse 24, God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him how? Spirit. A-N-D. You smart people, help me out. Is that a conjunction?
Yeah.
Does it join something together?
Yeah.
Oh, it does. So you can't have the spirit unless you got the truth.
That's right.
If you got the truth, you got the spirit. Can I have the spirit without the truth?
No.
Can I have the truth without the spirit?
No.
Okay, we understand that. Those that worship him must worship him how? Spirit and the truth. John chapter 8, verse 31, 32. Jesus said to those Jews that believed in him, if you continue in my word, you are my disciples. Indeed, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. John chapter 17 and verse number 17. Sanctify them through thy truths. Thy word is truth. And so if you are not part of the body of Christ, I stopped by this morning just to tell you the truth. The truth of the matter is God sent his son to die on the cross. John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. For God sent not his son
into the world to damn them. I ain't here to damn you this morning. I'm here to help you get saved. That's right. It ain't no water in there, but it don't take but a hot second to put some in there. That's right. My job is to help you to see that Jesus died on the cross to reconcile you. You got to do what God say to do, when he says to do it, and how he say to do it. If he said it was grape juice that I needed to be baptized in, we'll fill it up with grape juice. Amen. But he said water. Because it's in the watery grave that God does a spiritual operation and cleanse you of all your sin. Do what I say to do, how I say to do it. The God, Jesus came and died on the cross for one purpose. That's to reconcile man back to his Father. And who do I need to really listen to? You know how we listen to everybody? Yeah. Boy, y'all got some favorite programs, and boy, you can't. Yeah, that. And see, and the world we live in knew that they needed to come out with that DVR or whatever they call that thing. Because he knew some of us need these programs, and these programs is what dictate to us. Amen, Walls. But Jesus came for a purpose, and God wants us to hear what he has to say and not what someone else says. See, that's why you can't just sit here and take my word for it. Amen. Your job is to make sure that I speak as the oracles of God. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it with the ability that God supplies, that in all things God might be glorified. My job is to tell you what God requires of you. Now, it's up to you if you accept it. And you know what? I don't get mad if you don't obey. You know why? I don't have a heaven and a hell. Because if I did, well. But I don't have a heaven and a hell. So therefore, it has to be done the way God said. And what does God want us to do when he wants us to do it? And how does he want us to do it? I'm glad he answered that question for me. Matthew chapter 17, on the mountain of transfiguration, Jesus takes a couple of his disciples. And as he goes up to the mountain, the Bible says he transfigures himself before them. I want you to listen to this. Very interesting, because you know there's a lot of folks listening to a lot of people that are going to be lost.
That's right.
I don't plan to be one of them. I'm going to stick with the book, because the book has proven to me that if you stay with Jesus, everything else will be all right. That's not the one I want. I'm sorry. Matthew chapter 5. I turn it around. Matthew chapter 5 and round about verse number 17. Is that the mountain of transfiguration? Hold on a second. One of you brothers get it for me. Mountain of transfiguration, where Jesus transfigures himself before and appears Moses, Elijah, and one of the prophets. And while you're going there, I'll just make this point. See, Jesus came to reconcile man back to himself. He came for the whole purpose of doing the will of his Father. And that purpose was that you and I need to hear what he has to say to you and I. And when we learn what he has to say to you and I, then we'll understand that God is in control.
Matthew 17.
I was right. 17? Mm-hmm. 17,
yeah.
Okay.
17. Matthew 17.
Okay. Okay, Matthew 17, I was right, okay. Just got a little excited up here. And you know something? If you can't get excited about the word of God, what can you get excited about? You got excited to be here?
Yeah.
Well, tell your face the God. I don't know about you. Man, when I stop and think about what God has done for me in my life, it excites me. The Bible says in verse number 1, and after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, and his brothers, and bring them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as sun, and his raiment was white as snow. And behold, there appeared unto him Moses, Elijah, talking with him. And then answered Peter, and said unto him, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Boy, that, don't that sound like us? Don't that, boy, that sound like good. Boy, it's sure good to be here. I missed some of y'all. That's okay. The Bible said it's good for us to be here. If thou will, let us make 3 tabernacles. One for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. I ain't got time. Now what we want to do? We want to make something to everybody but the one that died. Peter. Cussing Peter. Knife-coating Peter. Will cut your ear off at the drop of a hat. First one to speak, Lord, let's make 3 tabernacles. One for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for thee. The Bible says in verse number 5, and while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud said, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear Moses.
Hear
Elijah.
My son.
Hear these other folks that say that they got the answer. No, he says, hear ye him. See, everything that we do and say must be by the authority of Jesus Christ. Jesus came and died on a cross to reconcile all of man back to himself. And for those of you that are visiting this morning that may not know who Jesus truly is, I just stopped by to tell you, it is in the gospel plan that you and I need to understand. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 1. Paul says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preach to you, which also you have received, wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I have also received, how Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. It is the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ that you and I must learn to obey. And what is that? Romans chapter 1 and round about verse number 16. Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed by faith, as it is written, thou shalt also live by faith. Church, it is important. Those of you that are visiting, you've heard God's word this morning. According to the book, Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The question is, do you believe what I said? John chapter 20 and round about verse number 30. Many other signs were done in the presence of his disciples are not written in the book. But these are written that you might believe, and in believing you might have eternal life. The Bible says you got to repent of your sin. Luke 13:3, 13:5, tell your name, except you repent, you'll perish. Confess that he is the Son of a living God. Matthew 10:32 and 33. And all of that brings you unto salvation. The Bible says you're not saved until you hit this water. It is in the watery grave that God does a spiritual operation. Contrary to popular belief that baptism is an outward sign of an inward grace, my Bible says, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, there's an antitype that saves us now, namely baptism, not the washing of the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience toward God. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 and 27, we're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of us that are baptized into Christ have put on Christ. I want to encourage you that if you're visiting with us this morning, you've heard the plan to be saved. The question is, will you be like the leper, or will it be to Paul? I don't know you. Whatever your need might be, let it be known. Together we stand and sing our song.